Hi, everyone, and good morning, and welcome to More Than Milestones. I'm your host, Dr. Wendy McKenna, and I'm so glad to be with you today, where we are going to take you from bump to birth and beyond to help you boot your worry, be confident, and have a blast raising your happy baby. And I'm so excited to be able to introduce to you Dr. Michelle Sands. Dr. Sands, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, Wendy, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to hang out with you for the next 30 minutes or so.
Absolutely. We're going to have a great time, and you guys are going to learn a lot of amazing things. I've had a few conversations offline with Michelle, and she's golden. So here we go. Let's just jump right in. Michelle, can you just give the audience your background and where you are in this space of helping mamas with their babies?
Yes, sure. So I am a doctor of naturopathic medicine with a certification in functional medicine. So what that just basically means is that I'm a medical doctor, but I choose to use natural methods and coach up the body's own innate healing power in order to help our bodies heal themselves. And I love working with moms specifically. And one's a kind of a personal reason, because the reason I got into natural medicine in the first place was because I was told I would never be able to have a baby. And my hormones were really messed up as of age 20 years old. This is when I found this out. But I also had a lot of other underlying issues, digestive issues, thyroid problems, autoimmunity. And I didn't know that there was an answer. You know, I was given prescriptions, I was given, you know, antidepressants, birth control pill, things for my, you know, proton pump inhibitors, acid blockers, all of these things, but I wasn't given an answer. And it really, really bugged me that I was not like a whole woman, you know, I wasn't able to have a child. And so every year on Mother's Day, I would actually just cry. I'd lock myself in my room and just cry because I wasn't going to have, like, the Hallmark commercials come on and the DJs on the radio and everybody's talking about this beautiful bond between a mom and her child. And I was like, why will I never have that? So I just started like reaching out and like looking outside of what my doctor told me, outside of what my world was. And that was, you know, Eastern medicine. It was osteopaths, chiropractors, Ayurvedic specialists, just all these different practitioners who weren't doing conventional medicine. And what I found was there was lots of other women with the same issues that I had that were able to overcome them and eventually become moms. And so through that struggle, I started going to naturopathic medical school. I started doing a bunch of lab tests on myself. I was basically like a guinea pig. Any test out there, even if it didn't even apply to my situation, I ran it on myself because I wanted to know, like, was there something else going on? And it came to find out that I did have a lot going on that I didn't know. I was an Italian girl, grew up in a New York family. We had pizza and pasta and bread and pastries at every single meal. And I was celiac. I had a major, major reaction to gluten and gluten-containing foods. And that was really at the root of my Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is autoimmune thyroid condition, and my digestive issues, and ultimately my hormone problems. So by doing all these different tests, like just haphazardly as a student in medical school, I actually kind of uncovered what was at the root of my problem. And I started using food as medicine. I started working out differently because in the 90s, when I started going to school and getting interested in nutrition, I learned what was the mantra of the time, and that was eat really low fat, do cardio until you drop, and that was going to get you fit and healthy. And so that's what I wanted to be. I want to be fit and healthy. So I ate every low fat item on the planet, including like Snackwell's cake.
Yes, I was a Snackwell girl.
Yeah, and Diet Coke and low fat, no fat snack cake were part of my diet, which was healthy at the time. And you know, I didn't know what I was doing to myself, but I changed that. I started doing more yoga. I started like actually being present with myself. I started eating some healthy fats. And I, you know, through, it wasn't overnight. It was a process of about 5 to 10 years of working on this. And then I decided, I met the love of my life, and I decided we were going to have a baby. And, you know, we had our son Paxton. He's 2.5 years old now, and he's the love of my life. He's really my muse for all that I do. But I just love working with moms and women who want to become moms because it's just so magical. The mom is really the center of the family, but also the community, really. So when I help a mom to overcome a health problem or to feel better about herself or to have more energy, I really help that whole family and the whole community. So that's kind of why I love working with moms and specifically.
Oh, it's so fun. And it's so great for moms to be able to build their village with someone like you who is such an advocate for them because, you know, we all feel like we kind of have to do it alone nowadays, you know, I mean, or almost forced to do it alone because of just the way our society is set up. And, you know, thank goodness for the internet now that's actually starting to bring us together. I mean, there's obviously things about digital that I can't stand, but this, yeah. When used in the right way, it allows us to build the advocacy for ourselves and the village and the connection that we all need to help each other thrive.
Yeah, you know, it's so true because when I started back when I was 20 years old, so it's about, I'm 40, so 20 years ago, like there wasn't all the information there is out there now. So it was, you're kind of doing it by yourself in your own little isolated way. But now we really do have so much information out there. It makes it awesome that you don't have to like feel like you're going through it yourself. You can get the wrong information very easily, right? Yeah. So that's kind of the, you kind of have to find some sources that you trust and stick with those and kind of ignore all the nonsense. Because unfortunately, this is something that makes me very upset actually, is there's a lot of internet marketers out there and they're trying to sell you or they're trying to like get to your like pain points by, you know, selling you the quick fix. So this is going to help you lose weight. This is going to clear up your skin. This is going to do this. And it's really annoying because those things are letting people down like time and time and time again. And it's not, there's not a secret. Like it's not a secret. It's, you know, it's learning how your body works and it's learning what your body needs and your mind, right? Our body and our mind all together for yourself, for your children, yep. For you know, your spouse, everybody. It's the same thing. And it's not, I just don't like when seeing people come to me with like 35 supplements and they've been through 10 different diets and they've been to 6 different doctors and 5 specialists and all they have is a bottle with pills in it. And there's like bottle after bottle after bottle. And it's really, really frustrating.
Yeah, I can agree with you. And along line with that, and you said this word before when you were talking about yourself, but, you know, kind of the haphazardness of, you know, the information that's out there too. So can we hone in a little bit more on like what, when a patient comes to you and all, they've been to all these places and done all these things and they have all these bottles that they're taking, like how do you take them through to help them have the knowledge and feel like they have the power to be able to take the healing back into their own hands again?
Yeah, that's really, really important because one of the first things we do in our practice with every single patient we work with is we help to determine where they currently are, right, and where they want to be. So it's kind of like if you have a GPS in the car, you have to know your current destination. You have to put that in. You have to put in where you want to go, and that's how you get to where you're going. If you don't know where you currently are, you're going to be missing a very important part of that set of directions. And so we go through a very extensive intake process with everyone we work with. And it's not just, you know, your date of birth and, you know, last surgeries you've had and things like that, that you do on a general, like you're going to your regular doctor, but we're asking about your sex life. We want to know, did you live in a home that had carpets or wood floors? We want to know if there's any traumatic experiences that happened in your life. We want to know what you're eating, how you're sleeping, what your likes and dislikes are. Are you in the sun a lot? Are you working at a desk during the day? How many kids do you have? Do you take vacations? We want to know all of these things because these all play into what we call your functional medicine timeline. And this helps us to understand how you got to be to where you are today. And then also what symptoms you're experiencing, not just your main complaint. So my problem with understanding my infertility was I was just trying to fix my hormones, right? And so I was just narrowing in on that one thing that I knew was a problem, but I was ignoring the rest of the body that was working with my hormones. And so we really want to know, okay, we understand you have a digestive issue, but we also want to know, do you have dry skin? Do you get headaches? You know, these kinds of things as well, because those all are clues to understand the actual root cause of the problem. So we'll take all that information, we'll put it in a visually, in a way they can visually see it on a diagram, mm-hmm. each system of the body, and where the most dysfunction is in each of those systems. And then we systematically will attack the system with the most dysfunction first, mm-hmm. and help them heal their body in the order that they need to heal it. And I think that that's important, because there's no one size fits all. There's no, oh, just do the low carb diet, or just, you know, do yoga. I mean, all those things are great, but we really have to attack and then individualize what's going on in that person's body and why.
No, and I love that you do that too, because so many of the specialists in the medical field right now, they just really look at one system.
Well, that's the whole definition of specialist, right?
I know, right.
And, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, hey, Dr. Show, what do you specialize in? And it's really funny, because for marketing purposes, mm-hmm. like, we are, my marketing manager and our coach, our business coaches are like, you have to pick something you specialize in. So I'm like, well, mom's over 35. That's who I like to work with. But what's your specialty? Do you work on digestion? Do you work on skin? Are you weight loss? It's like, well, kind of all of that, right? Because it has to be. The problem with specialists is that you'll go to the skin doctor for your skin, and you'll go to the heart doctor for your heart, and you'll go to the foot doctor for your foot. But a lot of times it's the same root cause that's causing all of these issues, and that never gets uncovered unless you're really going to holistic. That's what holistic means. It's the whole body. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going to a holistic practitioner or a functional medicine doctor, that's what they're going to be looking at, the whole body and mind together.
I love that. No, and it's so important too, because I think it's growing a lot. But I think still that the compass is still pointing more towards just the medical model, and like, go to your pediatrician first, then go out to the various specialists. But
yeah,
the whole functional thing too, especially for, you know, I mean, I'm having some difficulties with behavior with my daughter, and it's like, mm-hmm. I've been to the specialist now, and no one really has an answer. One of them wants her to be on medication, and I'm like, no, like,
right.
No, she is not broken. Like, my baby is not broken. She doesn't need something that you manufactured. Like, I just haven't found that thing yet that is the root cause. And so,
and that's really important to know, because, like, unfortunately, like, the specialists that you're going to see, they're not trying to shortchange you, and they're not trying to, like, put you down or do anything wrong, but their only tools in their toolbox are drugs and surgery.
Right.
They don't learn about nutrition. They don't learn about lifestyle medicine in medical school. They have like 3 or 4 hours of nutrition education, which is sponsored by like General Mills and McDonald's. And that's not going to teach you actually how to heal. But we get a lot of moms in our clinic with children with behavioral problems. And what we find a lot of times is there's something, some bacterial imbalance in the gut that's at the root of these behavioral issues, because there is that gut-brain yeah. connection. We have our nervous system, which includes our brain and our, you know, our nerves and everything. But then we have a second nervous system called the enteric nervous system, which is in our gut, and they talk to each other. So fungal overgrowths, bacterial imbalances, food sensitivities, even sensitivities to food additives or food colorings are really, really common for ADD, aggressive disorder, just difficulty concentrating. And a lot of times, you know, especially for boys, like, boys have a lot of energy. Young boys have a lot of energy. And sometimes if they can't sit still for 6 hours at a time in school, like, is that really a problem? Like, as adults, like, we would love to have that kind of energy, right? Like, so sometimes it's not always, sometimes it's just they're not in the right environment for their personality. Mm-hmm. But with, you know, with attention deficit or behavioral disorders, I really would look to the gut first. There's actually a really great test called the organic acids test that we use all the time in our clinic. And it looks for like imbalances in the gut, fungal and yeast markers, but also metabolic dysfunctions and vitamin deficiencies. And that is a great test for children because it's a simple urine test. And it's a great test that gives you so much information. And so that I would definitely recommend anybody who is considering putting their child on a behavioral mood disorder medication to do that test first.
Yeah, no, I think that's really great because again, I know that we talked offline and really helping people to understand that you don't always need the medicine and that if you really listen to your body and understand where you are, that nature can actually help you get there.
Yeah, and it's not, I always like to make sure I stress too, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. It's you're doing what you know to do, right? Right. So like when I was in my 20s in college and in my 30s, I was doing the low fat, lots of cardio thing because that's what I knew to be right. So whenever there's a mom who brings their child in, like I'm not saying you're doing things wrong. You're doing what you know. Yeah. And so all you need is more information. So that now you can do things to help the situation with the new information that you now have, right? So that's really important not to guilt anybody and not to feel like you're hurting your child or hurting yourself. We're all doing what we know. And in 10 years, we'll all know a lot more, right?
Yes, we will. And it'll be very different than what it is today. And, you know, we're always learning, of course. So, yeah, no, I appreciate that too, because we guilt ourselves so much when we feel like we do something wrong and then blame ourselves. And then we get into this, you know, negative thing that, you know, creates this energy that then our kids feed off of that.
Yeah. And the stress, I mean, stress is just as, you know, detrimental to health as Twinkies are, right? So we don't want to have that stressful environment in the home or for your child to be stressed about, am I going to behave the right way? Because sometimes by labeling our kids with a disorder, sometimes that can cause this internal stress and this story that they're telling themselves now that they're inferior to other children. And so that's really important too. That's one of the things that we don't do in functional medicine that sometimes irritates our patients is that we don't give them a label. Like they want to know, what do I have?
Yeah.
What do I have? And it's like, well, you have an imbalance in this system and you have some dysfunction over here. What's it called? Like, what do I have? And we don't have to name it because we don't have to submit something to the insurance company to get a code for the medication to give to you because we're not doing it that way. We're actually looking for dysfunction that's unique to each individual, which doesn't always have a name.
Yeah. No, and I love that you say that because it's so true. A lot of times we have to put those labels on just for the medical system to work right the way that we've set it up. And, you know, it's like it makes it seemingly from the outside more stable to deal with when you have that label because it's like it puts you down a certain pathway and you don't have to worry about the other things around you, but it also puts the blinders on you.
Yeah, especially since two people with the same, like two people with diabetes might have different root causes of why they have that diabetes. So I think it's really a disservice to give that label and then to give the same solution.
Right.
To everybody, you know, and I don't have anything against prescriptions or medications when they're used in conjunction with a healing plan.
Yeah.
What I do have a problem with is giving someone a prescription. Like I was given like 5 prescriptions and that was just sent me on my way and said, well, there's nothing you can really do. Take these pills and hopefully you'll feel okay. And that's not healthcare, right? To me, like healthcare, a motorcycle just went by.
So I heard that. I was like, oh, is that mine?
But healthcare means building health, right? And so that's really understanding what's wrong and doing something to fix it, right? And so that might involve a medication so that you have the ability to function normally so you can work on healing. But when you're not given a healing plan, then that to me is a real disservice. And that's what's wrong with that. Medical system today.
No, I thank you. And kind of on this line, and it's a little bit controversial, but I do want to talk about it a bit. Vaccines. So can you kind of give us a little bit of background about where you stand on vaccines and how we can help our our systems as moms, as well as our babies, really our their immune systems just kind of be boosted a bit.
Yeah, so vaccines are, it's really a controversial topic, and it's really a hard topic right now because it's gotten so political. Bad. Whereas some states, depending on where you live, if you want to send your children to public schools, you have no choice. Like, your right to decide whether that route that is right for you, whether you're injecting a substance into your child's body, whether that's right for you, that's no longer your decision if you are not willing to homeschool. So to me, that's just wrong in any case. Like, anytime we're saying we have, you know, it's the law that you have to have this medication in order to participate in society. That's really scary, and that's really scary that the government can do that, because what's to prevent them to say, like, every person who wants to have a bank account has to inject something into their body? That's just crazy, right?
Or really give it your DNA code, you know? It's like,
it's really, really crazy. So luckily, I live in a state where you can still take a religious or philosophical exemption. I live in Vermont, but for some states, like you live in California, and right now it's the law. So, you know, there are a lot of things you can do if you are in a state that mandates vaccines. One, I would definitely, like, think about moving, but if that's an option. Because my stance is, my son Paxton is 2.5. He has never had a vaccine. Mm-hmm. He also was at home, so we didn't send him to daycare. We didn't travel outside the country with him during his first 2.5 years of life. And so for those reasons, he did not need to be vaccinated, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He's on a very, very healthy diet. He takes probiotics. His immune system is top notch. And so I've done everything in my power to help his immune system. And in addition, I'm also giving him homeopathic immunizations, which are different than vaccines. They're not vaccines, mm-hmm. but they are used across the world to prevent communicable diseases from really flourishing inside the child's body, or adults as well. And so it's a different mechanism. It's a really up-leveling your body's energetic resources and immune power. And mm-hmm. so that is something that anyone can do. And it's something you can do also if you've given vaccines. There are some homeopathic remedies that will help to diminish any negative aspects mm-hmm. from the vaccines. But one thing I would do, I would definitely do some testing to see if your child is more genetically susceptible to having a vaccine injury before I do the vaccines. But so there's that. And then there's also just spreading them out, delaying them until as long as you can. So I would delay them until age 5, when they're right before they're about to go to school, because when a baby is born, their immune system is very immature. And so it's maturing in the way nature intended. And then when you inject those vaccines, it's interrupting that process. And so it's really changing the process of the immune system maturing. Right. And, you know, also the vaccines have aluminum and mercury and heavy metals and a lot of different things in them that can be detrimental to hormone health, to brain health. A lot of different issues can come about them. So, you know, anytime there's a benefit cost that you have to weigh. If you're traveling outside the country, if your kid's in daycare where there's a lot of kids that are getting sick, then
the petri dish.
yeah. So, I mean, in one way, I mean, it's great. When my son got sick last week, I was actually happy he got sick because he's developing his immune system that way. We took him to a batch of Halloween festivities, and so that's where he picked up whatever he picked up. But the wonderful thing was he was better in just a day or so. And so a lot of his cousins got the same sickness he had, but they were sick for a week. And so to me, it's just like his immune system is really getting its exercise when he gets sick. It's like kind of like going to the gym and lifting weights. It's going in and getting its exercise, but it's working really well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and there's a lot of things you can do to mitigate the damage from vaccines. So if you whether you choose to do vaccines or not, really starting with the basics of making sure your child has a really balanced nutrition, that you're giving your child love and you're there for them, like that body to body contact, the skin to skin, giving them lots of hugs and kisses, making them feel safe. This is all helpful to your immune system. And so it's really important. People don't realize that. They think it's just like feeding them vegetables, but a lot of times, like showing them love and making them feel safe, that's really going to help their overall health and their immune system in turn. So, you know, that's kind of what I recommend. Spacing out the vaccines, don't get two vaccines together, because when they're tested for safety, they're only tested individually. They're not, so we don't really know the effects on the body when they're getting these, like, I don't even know what they call them, but they're like booster packs of like super shots or whatever.
the one that's in the media is the MMR. So
They do the MMR, plus they do another one in the same visit. And so to me, that's just like, why are we getting? Yeah, it's really a lot for their little bodies to handle. Yeah. But not every child will have a vaccine reaction. So
I'm so glad that you said that, because you said something about getting some testing ahead of time to see if your child would be able to handle it. So what is that test? What's the process of being able to go through that?
Yeah, so there's some genetic testing that will show if they have specific SNPs or mutations in their genetic structure that would make them more susceptible. Not able to detoxify, not able to handle that additional load on their system. And so like getting those tests would be great. And then I don't even know right now politically in the states that mandate vaccines. I know that once your child develops autism or a vaccine reaction, then you no longer have to get the rest of the vaccines, which is, I don't know if you can prove that they would have a reaction, if that would be something that eventually would exempt you from vaccine. Hopefully that will come to case. I'm involved with a bunch of other functional medicine doctors that are lobbying and constantly like giving money to the lobbyists who are anti-vaccine, or at least it's like freedom of choice, right? Yeah. It's like being able to decide whether it's right for you. And I think it's really important that they change those laws so that people can make the decision for themselves. And we have patients in our practice that vaccinate. I have family members that vaccinate, and it really is a decision. You know, it's like whether or not you want to eat broccoli. Like you do it or I do it. It doesn't matter. It's just like, for some people, it might make them feel good, and for some people, they might not feel good when they eat it. So, you know, it's really a personal decision. But there's, you know, definitely increasing health overall, whether you do it or not, is going to benefit.
Yeah. So in terms of having access to that kind of genetic testing, is it just functional medicine doctors who do that?
I think consumers have access to genetic testing just online. You can order like 23andMe. There's a lot of companies.
So all of that would come in through 23andMe too?
Yes. You might have to go to a functional medicine doctor to interpret it. And that's definitely something that the genetic testing is very confusing when you get it back. And so, going to a practitioner who understands what they're doing, it's mostly functional medicine doctors, not even all functional medicine doctors understand genetics. And so more and more are nowadays. So, you know, going to a practitioner who understands and maybe is versed in vaccine reactions or children's functional medicine is probably the best way to go.
Yeah. And two, looking at the history of vaccines, I mean, they did eradicate some pretty crazy things.
Yeah, they're getting better. It's getting better. It's getting worse. They're getting better because they're taking out some of the really harsh chemicals that are put in the vaccines. But what's getting worse is that when I was a child, I got vaccinated, but there was only like 13.
Exactly, that's where I was going.
Now there's like 30 something or 40 something. Yeah. And it keeps growing. They keep adding more vaccinations in. It's like our sanitation and our health is actually increasing.
They're better, right?
Why. And a lot of the vaccines are for diseases that no longer exist in our culture. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's kind of weird that there's more now. There should actually be less now.
Yeah. So no, I get that. And I do appreciate the history of where they came from, but I agree with you in terms of like the number and what we're vaccinating for now. It just keeps growing. And it's
money making. It's like a business.
Well, it is. I mean, And you know, but at what point do we start giving whole living the same weight in terms of helping you stay healthy than medication?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, why isn't it not the law that your kid has to have like 3 servings of vegetables per day? Why is that not the law to get into public school? That's how it should be.
Or even the lunches that are provided at school, like they're not healthy. I mean,
places are getting better.
They're getting better. They are.
Maybe it's just here. I know in even some places in California, a lot of the schools are now starting to, you know, understand the importance of whole real food and having farm to table. And yeah, so I really, really love that direction. Even just recently, because Thanksgiving is coming right now when we're doing this interview, and Fletcher Allen Hospital, which is here in Vermont, they actually decided that they're only going to use organic turkeys when they're feeding their staff and their children and their patients because of all the antibiotics and all the chemicals that are in conventionally raised turkeys and meats. And so for a conventional medical hospital to get on board with the fact that organic meats are so important in making sure that we're not putting all of the chemicals and the antibiotics into the patients who are trying to heal, like that's a huge step.
Yeah.
So I really feel like it's a lot of huge steps are happening. Integrative medicine is getting more and more common. And I think that a lot of changes are going to be made.
I think so too. I know we're on the cusp of something big. It's definitely been getting better, especially, you know, I had my first daughter 11 years ago. It has changed significantly in the last
birthing and all that.
Just everything has changed significantly in 11 years. And people, especially, I'm in San Diego. So, I mean, people are really demanding, you know, good foods, organic foods, whole foods, you know, and the grocery stores they're showing up. They're changing. The restaurants that are closing down versus the ones that are thriving.
Sure, it's even Walmart has lots of organic foods now, and I think that's wonderful because it's a lot more affordable. One of the things that is hard, even as a functional medicine doctor, like it's very elitist to go to a functional medicine doctor or a naturopath because it's expensive, right? And so organic food's expensive. Going to a functional medicine doctor can be expensive. Like being healthy can be expensive. And so it's unfortunate that it's been that way for so long, but it's getting more and more accessible, which is really a great thing for so many people.
It is, but there's still, I do believe it, that is a barrier to entry for a lot of people is the expense of it.
And that's one of the reasons in our practice, we actually have a program that is at the patient level. I teach you how to basically be your own doctor for your family. And it kind of makes it accessible to everybody. You know, I take them through in like a membership type of situation where I'm training them on how to understand their blood work when they get it from their doctor, what nutrients they need out of their food and how to understand what the best diet for them is and really like understanding what their symptoms mean. And so they can use that information and be empowered when they go on Google and they see something that is like, can this be true? Is coconut oil really bad for you? You know, whatever is on the news or on the internet, they can use that information and they can understand whether it's something that they need to care about or not, you know, whether it's something that is a concern for their family or not for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I just love that because again, it's all about putting the power back in our own hands. Yeah. And for so long, especially in the medical field, people have just freely given their power to the practitioner because they think they're the ones who know.
And I did that too. I think that's what everybody does, right?
I think we all do. We're trained.
You have
to do
something
that.
Wrong, and you try to deal with it yourself. You go to the drugstore and you get the over-the-counter thing, and then when that stops working, you go to the doctor, and whatever they say is like, okay, that's what I do. And a lot of times that's so wrong. I mean, even with like antibiotic prescriptions, those are like over 70% of the antibiotics prescribed are for conditions that won't be helped by it.
Probably like, what? You destroy your gut.
Yeah. And the thing is like doctors just feel this they're compelled to give you something when you go in the office. And even if there's nothing for it, they'll write your prescription for something that just they think is a placebo effect. Or, you know, I don't know if it's financial gain or if it's just they don't want to say they don't know. But you always leave with this prescription, and whether it's really going to help you or not, you know, that's really important. And it's probably going to hurt you because it's going to destroy your good bacteria. So yeah, it's insane.
It'd be great if they could just, you know, prescribe a sugar pill, tell you what it is, and like see if it really is the placebo.
Yeah. That would be better for you.
I know. Although probably make it not sugar, but
yeah. Well, you know, even that would be so much better than, you know, these drugs that have all these side effects. When you go and you listen to watch TV and, you know, you hear this new drug, but it's a commercial for the drug. So they're trying to get you to buy the drug. They're trying to get you to ask your doctor for it. But then you hear all the side effects that are,
it's crazy.
Worse than what the actual condition that you need the drug for is. And then yesterday I actually saw a commercial for a pharmaceutical drug that was designed to help you with the side effects from the other pharmaceutical drug that you're already taking. And I was like, are people listening to this?
They're not. You know what you have to do with those commercials? You have to close your eyes. Because they make the visual, like, images so appealing that you don't actually hear what they're saying. But if you close your eyes and listen, you're like, oh.
There's like a picture of a mom like running down the beach with her kids, and you're like, you may have suicidal thoughts. So it's like, wait a minute. That's not what I'm seeing.
It is a big mismatch. So you mentioned probiotics before. So there's so many different probiotics out there. So it's really for someone who wants to go that route, and I think it's a really important route. How do you navigate that?
Yeah. So with any supplement, there's two grades of supplements, and a lot of people don't know this. There's the consumer grade supplements, and there's pharmaceutical grade supplements. So generally, pharmaceutical grade supplements are available through health practitioners. There's some you can now get on Amazon, believe it or not. But there are certain brands are going to be pharmaceutical grade, like brands like Designs for Health is one of them. But there's a lot of different brands that are pharmaceutical grade. And so those have more bioavailable, better sourced ingredients that your body is going to actually be able to use. And the consumer grade supplements, those are generally cheaper. It's generally inferior sources of the vitamin or nutrient in the supplement. And same with probiotics. There's a lot of different strains. There's a lot of different ones. I like soil-based probiotics because those are, they're called SBOs if you look on the soil-based organisms, if you find them on like Amazon or something. And what I like about those is because they're inert when they're in the capsule. And when you take them, they go through your stomach acid and everything, and they don't actually, like, actually become alive as their little probiotic organisms until they get to your small intestine, which is where you need them. And so that is really good because a lot of times you'll take these probiotics, and then as soon as they get to your stomach acid, which is a pH of 1, which if you took your stomach acid and you poured it on your shoe, it would melt your shoe. And so it really kills a lot of these, like, live.
I've never thought about that before.
Well, you know, it's really strong.
Yeah.
And so when you're taking these probiotics that are living organisms, a lot of times they're in the refrigerator section of the health food store, and you take them and they die as soon as they reach your stomach acid.
Got it.
So we'll sneak through. But if you really want to get the maximum effect, the brand I like is my favorite one is called Megaspore Probiotic, and it is only available through physicians because it really works. And the thing is, the reason why they're only available through physicians is because it's really strong, and so they want a physician to counsel you when you get the probiotic to tell you to take just one to start and see how you do, and maybe open the capsule up and take half because when you introduce a probiotic into a microbiome that is maybe in balance, you can have some little reactions until your body kind of gets used to it. And this could be like diarrhea, it could be bloating and gas, but that will only last about a week, and then it'll start to see the beneficial effects, like clearer skin, weight loss, improved immune function. There's a lot of different things that improve nutrient digestion. And so, you know, these things are the benefits of taking a probiotic. And so you sometimes you have to get through that little stage. But if you just bought it over the counter, you might take the dose it says on the bottle, which is 2, and then you might have this bad reaction, and then you'll be like, oh, those are bad.
Yeah, I don't like that. Okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. Thank you for that.
But the consumer-based probiotics, are they have such a lower dose that you won't have that reaction, but the thing is, it's not really going to work.
It's not going to work so well. Oh, that's like really good information to know. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So we have come to the end, which is crazy because I could keep talking forever.
Oh my goodness.
I know. It's kind of amazing. So are there any final thoughts that you want to leave our audience with?
Yeah. So basically what I love to tell everybody that I come in contact with is that whether you are dealing with basically any dysfunction or any health condition that you're dealing with, find out your options, right? Like, do your research online, but also if your doctor's telling you to take a pill or to get a surgery or go through a procedure, go to another doctor and another doctor and another doctor. Get like 3 or 4 opinions before you put any substance into your body or go under the knife or have anything done, especially removing any organs or body parts. Like, definitely get 2, 3, 4, 5 opinions, because chances are your body is going to be able to heal itself naturally, and you may just need to use a different route, change your lifestyle, change your diet, change the way you think about things, and that will usually save you from any further damage.
Awesome. And then as far as finding a local functional medicine doctor, do you just like Google functional medicine doctor?
You can go to the Institute of Functional Medicine, IFM.org. You should be able to find listings for functional medicine practitioners in your area. So that's probably the best way to do it.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you for that. Cool.
You're welcome.
And then I know you have something for our audience too.
Yeah. So I have a really awesome free gift, so that I know that a lot of people are just kind of like dipping their toe a lot of times in functional medicine or using nature to heal themselves. And there's so many different like ways to do it. There's so many different things online, different concoctions, different diets, and it's really confusing. And so I put together a video series. It's 4 videos, and it basically walks you through the 5 simple steps to overcome any health condition naturally, no matter how sick you are, no matter how bad you feel or how many doctors you've seen. And it's called Natural Healing Made Simple, because that's what it is. It basically teaches you how to make it easy, because it really isn't. It's not hard. It's science. You know, we're humans, we're biology, and it's just science and using nature, the universe, and the power within you to do what your body's supposed to do. What your body is meant to do is heal.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for that. It's just amazing. So amazing. So you guys, that link will be right underneath Dr. Sand's picture on her speaker page. So go get that. But thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy. It was really my pleasure. And I really appreciate what you're doing for moms out there. Because like you said earlier, like, it's so hard to go through a lot of this on your own, and for you to put together a resource like this, I just think it's wonderful. So thank you.
Well, it's been really fun. I've really enjoyed it, especially today. So you guys have a beautiful day. So glad that you joined us, and we will be again with you tomorrow. More Than Milestones. All right, you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we'll see you soon. Okay, bye.
Bye.